Good morning. We will consider today God's word to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The story of Philip and Nathanael's encounter with Jesus, beginning with verse 43. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Salesmen know from experience that it's much easier to make the sale when the product sells itself. Now, maybe you've experienced the reality of that, not as a salesman, but as a buyer, a consumer. You are sold, so to speak, on a certain product. Once you know that it works well, it's built well and therefore durable, it does all the things you want it to do, so at least in your mind, you're convinced that it's worth the money you spent. In some ways, we Christians are much like satisfied customers. Now, don't get me wrong, we don't pay anything to buy our salvation, and good thing for that. But certainly, we have it, right? We benefit from it, and we know the great value of what Jesus did for us. Like those two disciples in our text, we too are sold on the reality, the power, and the benefits of having Jesus Christ as our Savior. In John 1, verses read to you, we see one Christian, Philip, already convinced. But there's another, Nathanael, who needed more convincing, it would seem. How often do we act more like Nathanael than Philip? I'm talking about our doubts, the religious kind. Maybe we doubt that a certain doctrine that we've been taught is really supported in the Bible after all. Or maybe we doubt that God has forgiven a certain sin we've done, or somebody else has done. Or we start to question the extent of God's love when bad things start to happen, either to us or near us. Whatever the doubts may be, they all fit the category of sin that we commit, because this much is true. By doubting God, we are not trusting Him as we should, especially when He tells us the truth of His Word. Now, here's the good news. God does not reject you in judgment for your doubts. Quite the opposite. He comes to win you over. He comes with a cure. No, it's not going to be independent collaboration from an outside source that verifies the Bible. You're not going to get that. It's not going to be some archaeological discovery like Noah's Ark. It's not going to be some logical argument you can use to connect all the dots or fill all the gaps that Prof. Pfeiffer was talking about last week. No, it's going to be the Bible itself, which has two things going for it: the power of the Holy Spirit at work and the truth of Jesus on display. Let's consider the example of John 1, a powerful display of supernatural knowledge, what we call the omniscience of Christ. Before Jesus and Nathanael had ever met, The Lord knew the man's heart and could say about him, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And even though Nathanael was far away at the time, Jesus saw him under the fig tree. These miracles of Christ, and boy, there are many recorded in the Bible. They all are a ringing endorsement of who he is, what kind of power he has. He even displayed power over death. Now maybe that seems like a distant thing. Something that does not touch your life all that directly. After all, these miracles happened in a faraway place a long time ago, and we didn't get to see any of them. We don't have the same vantage point as Philip or Nathanael. Now, if that's what you're thinking, you should ask yourself, what has Jesus done for you directly? Let's get to the bottom of this. Try to imagine your situation without him. By that I mean you stand before God to face judgment alone, by yourself, without Christ. How horrible that would be. How desperate you and I would be. When Jesus came to earth, the most important thing that he did for all people. First of all, he took our place, and for all of us, he kept every commandment the hard way, not using his miraculous power at any point. And then, in a very real, voluntary, painful, difficult sacrifice on the cross, he gave up that perfect life to pay the full guilt of all your sins. And that included Jesus suffering the torments of hell. Only Jesus can do for you and me what no doctor, no matter how skilled, what no lawyer, what no psychiatrist could ever do. Only Jesus can be your sin eraser, the death destroyer for you and me, the one who opens heaven and secures our adoption as children of God. Such good news is meant to make an impression, the impression of truth and grace, which is the thing that wipes away the doubts. Surely Jesus is the ultimate product that sells itself. Since he makes us satisfied with the results, he makes us sure about him, and also forever grateful that what he does for us is absolutely free for us. Amen. Let's close today singing all the stanzas of hymn 759. 759.
These are the truths. one-third of you have paid.